Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
There are signs everywhere that the onslaught of news from the COVID-19 pandemic is about to end, and there are more and more signs pointing to the fact that Democrats this is unbelievable, they may actually attempt to take a victory lap in the coming weeks and say they conquered it and defeated COVID. Nothing has changed. None of the science has changed. None of the data really has changed. None of the percentages of people that get really sick, none of the things about comorbidities, not a lot of things have changed with COVID, and especially with Omicron, as so many people have gotten this variant and not been very sick. Yet we're seeing the New Jersey governor take the masks away. More and more walls are being torn down. Anthony Fauci has now said this week that we could end this very soon, that the COVID-19 pandemic in the world, not just in America, in the world, quote, could end soon, unquote, as the numbers are plummeting, saying it's almost over. He doesn't have an exact timetable, but it's right in front of us. We can see it, which is amazing because all I've watched of media coverage the last 3 weeks is they've told us that I was watching sports the last couple of weeks. And, you know, each week the lead on 60 Minutes was going to be COVID. Oh my God, stressed out nurses, hospitals are overrun. They scare you to death. Watch 60 Minutes. Our lead story tonight is on this nurse problem and all that. Yet now they're saying, now, what, out of nowhere? No, this is all a reflection of polling. This is a reflection of the polling of Americans over the last month. We now know over 70% of the people are done with COVID. They think everything related to this is now stupid. They want to go back to normal. They're ready to live their lives. So as we've had this media coverage that COVID was just continuing and it was awful and it was terrible, we now get the statistics that over the last 3 weeks in the United States, the numbers have actually just plummeted. If you had read the Kansas City Star in our area the past 3 weeks, you would have been inundated with headlines of how bad it is in this area, this small town, this urban zip code. It's terrible. Hospitals are overrun. There's not enough medicine. We can't get enough people vaccinated. This is the end of the world. It's just getting worse and worse. Omicron is so much more contagious. Correct. It's more contagious. Yes, it's also way less deadly. And this stuff we're doing to our kids is ridiculous. We don't need to litigate all that again. But the bottom line is this. Well, you've been inundated for the last month, let's say, over how bad it is in America. The numbers have just bottomed out. And that's not science. We've known this isn't really hurting people. Now it's passed its way around, like we see in this country every year with the flu or sinus infections or a lot of things that happen every single year. It gets passed around America. We have spikes where more people are sick, but we haven't seen catastrophic death rates. We haven't seen real tragedy like we did in the beginning when we didn't know what we were dealing with 2 years ago. We haven't seen any of that. And as Americans have basically said repeatedly, time and time again, and are fighting back like the Canadian truckers, and we see organized rallies and groups on Facebook and polling data, which is really how it's a shame that that's how politics works in this country. But in the end, it is a form of democracy. When enough Americans are sick and tired of it, even the Democrats will cave. And that appears to be what they're doing. Fauci is out. Think of this as the Chiefs playing, okay? And it's a screen pass. And they're tossing a little screen pass here to Joe Biden. Fauci's the lead blocker, but they're all going to fall in line. There's going to be four or five big heavy hitters out there blocking for Biden. And a lot of people now think he's going to run into the end zone and spike the football on March 1st at the State of the Union address. That when he gives his State of the Union address on March 1st, he will essentially declare the COVID pandemic over in the United States. That his administration will have defeated it, that they're the kings of the world. They did this. Their policies worked. All the masking. Thank you, Americans. Oh, my God. Thank you to all the vaccinated people. Thank you to all the people who got jabbed four times for us. You did it. You did it for all these lowlifes that didn't help. My God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We did it. Our scientists did it. But mostly you did it. The Democrats out there that listen to us. You saved America. That this will be a football spike like you've never seen. Now, that sounds dangerous. You got to be pretty confident there's not another variant coming along that's going to be worse. I don't, we've seen the variants of this thing get weaker and weaker. COVID-19, when it came, people missed this very simple point. And this is not some, You don't have to be in academia to know this. COVID-19 was a novel coronavirus. It was new. We didn't know what it was. They'd never seen a strand like this. Like, whoa, we've not seen this one. Well, we're learning that we hadn't seen that one before because they made it in a lab in China and it got out. That's why we had never seen it before. But humans' bodies are amazing. People got it. We got some therapeutics. We got a jab that helped lessen some symptoms. And as the thing mutated, it got weaker and weaker, and human bodies began to become more resilient against COVID as it changed. That's what happened. That's truly what happened. We did our best. We all did our best. That's not left or right. That's not Democrat or Republican. We just did our best, and we got through it. And it wasn't the end of the world like we thought it was going to be. And we now have a basis in this country for people to go to the polls and vote and understand, do we want this party to control us? Do we want them to scare us? Do we want to live like everything is going to kill us and it's going to be the end of the world? If so, this is our party. Or maybe this other side and our freedoms and liberties are more important at this point. Maybe there's a realization in America by a lot of people that this sucked. I just lost a couple of years of my life of normalcy, not my actual life. I still ate. I still worked. I still had family. We still loved. We still had our lives, but it wasn't the same. It was not the same. We didn't enjoy the same freedoms and liberties that we enjoyed prior to COVID. We just didn't. Everybody knows that. And a lot of people do refer to it as losing 2 years of their life because they didn't live the lifestyle they lived before. If that's the way they want to say it, that maybe is a first world problem, but it is a problem. And there are certainly a lot of people out there who lost loved ones. We're now learning that, over 80% of the people that died had four comorbidities in addition to contracting COVID. We're going to look back on this and understand that we lost a lot of really sick people to an illness that sped up the process of dying. That's mostly what this was. Not completely, but mostly. So here's Fauci. I'm telling you, it's a screen pass. He's out front. They're going to fall in line behind him. He says this whole thing could end soon. It's almost over. In 3 weeks, the president gives his State of the Union address, and I'm going to promise you right now, because there's already some rumblings, I'm going to promise you this is going to be his declaration of winning, just like he declared that all these jobs that were created in January, that the most job growth over the last year is the greatest in American history. Factually true. But we could have had a chimpanzee in the White House, and we would have created these jobs, because nobody worked the year before because of COVID. Everything was closed. My God, how dumb do they think we are? We closed America. Businesses shut down. Nobody was working. A handful of businesses thrived. Leading companies that thrived would be pharmaceuticals, big tech, things of that nature. But a lot of businesses just shut down and went out of business. Thousands and thousands and thousands of small businesses that had 10 employees or less had to shutter and say, we can't get through this. We can't do it. We're rethinking and remaking what we are, who and what we are, and how we're going to live. So it's a wonderful time for entrepreneurs in America to try to figure out what is the new America? What is the new way of life? How can I profit by starting a business in that? These are all wonderful things that are happening, but my God, it had nothing to do with Joe Biden being elected. It was bound to happen. When you open things back up, people are going to get hired. Oh, but they're going to do the same thing with COVID. They're going to tell you that they saved the world here. It won't just be America. It won't just be a declaration from Joe Biden that we've made it through the worst. The pandemic is over. He'll probably say something elegant like, we're moving on to the endemic. This is the end of it. Think of your life getting back to normal and thank the Democrats. We have elections coming up in November. We did this. It has nothing to do with science, nothing to do with data. It's simply polling. They know Americans are done with it. They're going to drift in the wind, which is what they do. They don't really lead. They want control. They like control. They like to scare you. They like to take care of everything until people turn on them. It's going to be interesting to see what Trudeau does in Canada because he is really unpopular right now with the trucker thing going on and the other things. This is fantastic. This is in a strange sort of way. This is democracy. You hate to see it through polling, but since they're in control of everything, this is a good thing. A lot of people that voted for Democrats have said, enough, enough. This is ridiculous. Not the hard left, not the fringe hard left, not those people. There's still a lot of people in this country that are conservative Democrats. They just don't know or follow it enough to know that that isn't their party anymore. But maybe they're learning through this. Polling certainly reflects they see it, and they don't like what the people they voted for are doing to them. That's reflected everywhere. So maybe democracy wins. Maybe we change the Democrat Party. Maybe it becomes more conservative. Or maybe it's just a ruse this year because the midterms are coming up in November. Whatever it may be, I'll take it. I'll take the endemic. I'll take getting rid of all this stuff. We're flying on an airline this weekend, going to Florida for a couple of nights to play a couple of rounds of golf with some friends. And they texted and said, hey, we're leaving on an afternoon flight. So it sure would be nice to have a glass of wine or a cold beer on that flight headed to Florida. I said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. They're not doing that. We just got the email from the carrier that they're going to start serving alcohol again on the flights beginning next Wednesday, the 16th. Well, that doesn't help us. We're going down and back faster than that. But I'm okay flying without a beer. It's not a big deal. But the point is, you see these things tumbling everywhere. I mean, there's a profit center there. There's money to be made by the airlines selling these drinks. Things apparently have calmed down on flights, right? One of the reasons that, you know, it isn't that they thought it was unsafe. They'd give you a soda. What's the difference between giving you a soda and a beer? I think one of the reasons they weren't providing alcohol on these flights, I think they started back up at one point and then stopped again, was because we still saw people going crazy on flights. We saw all kinds of problems with flight attendants, crazy people, you know, arguments, things of that nature. I have my mask. I have my mask, and I'll be wearing it. It simply says this mask doesn't work. That's it. That's all it says. I can get away with that, right? We know that scientifically to be true. Fauci has said it. It would be really great at the bottom if it just, like, attributed the quote to Dr. Fauci. That'd be really cool, but it doesn't do that. And it might not be factually correct, the exact proper statement. But Fauci says, this could all end soon. It's almost over. And I think we're going to find out here very shortly. I don't know that the news coverage is going to change. I think it's going to lag behind. I think the politicians are ready to spike the football first. And I don't know. I don't know which is the tail and which is the dog anymore between the corporate media and the politicians. I don't know, but it looks like Fauci and the politicians are trying to lead the way and say, look, we have to change the narrative in this country and get our polling numbers up. We've got about 6 months here to get this taken care of and say, look, we got to tell people that we fixed this, that it is better and we did it. That's the only way we're going to win votes in November. And clearly that's what they're doing. At the same time, 37 GOP lawmakers and Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who was the physician to three presidents, including what, Obama and Trump, the last three, have called for a cognitive test on Joe Biden, like the one Trump took, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test. And this is really interesting because normally you hear these things and you don't, like, anybody that was being honest, like, cognitive function with Trump, you may not like him or like what he says. Nobody questions his cognitive function, for crying out loud. We didn't question Barack Obama's cognitive function or any of these other presidents, really, since Gerald Ford, maybe at the end of Reagan's term, the last couple of years, when they thought maybe he was losing it. Maybe Gerald Ford, people thought he was kind of lightheaded just as a person. But not, this is new. What Biden's doing is all new. He was elected, put in there as a goofy man who was locked down, away from everyone, because he's a gaffe machine, and he's a gaffe machine because he doesn't know where he is. I think this is legitimate. The problem is, it's like everything else the Democrats have always done. They always play offense by watering things down by the time it affects them. In other words, Russia, 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 collusion, voter scams, a cognitive function of a president, fit to be, when was the last time you heard this term? Trump isn't fit to be president. I mean, they said that every day. Who says that about Biden? Well, the Republicans don't fight the same way. We're not street fighters. We're not scrappy enough. It's just, it's pathetic, actually, how legitimate the GOP is, how fair they want to play things when the game and the playing field are not fair. But that's the way they want to do it. So now we have a president that isn't fit to be president, and you can't hardly even say it. It's been so watered down. If you say, hey, we want him to take a cognitive test, I'm asking. To me, that seems like a real deal, and he should do it. But here's what they know. They know he doesn't have to do that because Americans don't care. The term, the question, has been so politicized by the left prior to this being a problem for Biden that it doesn't resonate with Americans. They do that with everything. They water everything down and make it so weak that by the time it affects one of theirs, it doesn't stick. And it won't stick. Unless this guy has a seizure or, you know, some real medical problem that they can't hide, he's going to sit here and limp his way through. I don't think he's going to run again. But I think, to me, this is legitimate. I mean, we've got a president that wants to pass a bill for equity, whatever the hell that is. Equity in America, which is a fairer sounding word for reparations. We want to do things for black people because of slavery 170 years ago. We want to do things to help. And one of those things includes $30 million for crack pipes. I mean, look, you've heard about this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is outrageous. This is insane. I don't even know what this is. They're setting up places where you can go safely, get your illegal drugs injected into you. What? These people have lost it. They've lost it. And so it's clear we have a drug problem in America. What they're doing right now is watering it down and making it, they're normalizing illegal drug use, and they're watering it down to make it look like it's not a problem because they're in charge. That's all this is. We're watering it down. You know, these addicted people, they're not going to get unaddicted. We want to help make sure that they don't get a dirty needle and die. We got to, this is only fair to them. We have to help poor people on drugs more than rich people with clean needles. So we're going to go do this. We're going to get them crack pipes. We're going to do all this stuff. This is a president whose son was a crack addict, for crying out loud. Is anybody going to ask him about his own family's crack use? And is this why you're giving away free crack pipes? Are you doing it because you feel bad that Hunter had the best crack pipes and all the clean needles? And you feel bad for black people who don't have the money and the resources to be a drug addict safely like your son did? Is somebody going to ask the president that question? Because that's a legitimate question. It is a legitimate question. Is this born from guilt that your rich son had all the clean needles and pipes that he ever needed to use drugs, illicit drugs safely? And you feel guilty about that. Is that not a legitimate question? Isn't that what equity is? Hunter Biden gets to be a drug addict safely, and people in the hood don't? I'd love to hear somebody ask that question. I'd love to see Biden take the cognitive test, but he's not taking that. If he does, it'll be a complete ruse. Just like Stacey Abrams is an unserious candidate for governor in Georgia. She is an unserious candidate. She is. She runs on a couple issues. She runs on race, and she runs on the government is screwing you, which is weird for a Democrat, but that's basically what she says. She basically paints the government as white and says they're screwing you over because they're white. So it's all really tied to race. We know what she did. She took that photo. It's just been getting hotter in her kitchen the last few days since she took that photo with those kids. She didn't apologize. She said, oh, they're racists on the right. They're only pointing this out because it's Black History Month, and they're trying to make me look bad. They're racists. Well, now she's apologized. She has had to apologize. They wait. They wait. They see the polling data. They wait 3 or 4 days. What's the instant reaction in our state? And she's apologized and said it was a mistake to do what she did, and she's apologized. They got to cancel her? No, they're not going to cancel her. She's a liberal. She's going to be just fine, Stacey Abrams is. But I guess we give her credit for apologizing, at least admitting to the fact that she did something really, really hypocritical and wrong when she's running around trying to tell other people how to live. She was not living that way. You won't get any of that at Marion Body Shop. Justin and his team are State Farm preferred. And if you got a little fender bender in the snow last week, or you have some scratches you want to get out, or if you've had somebody you know that was in an accident, pass along Justin's phone number or the website, MarionBodyShop.com, and get great service from people who love your car more than you do. That's what it is. This is not a big corporate shop with a big fancy waiting area and a latte machine. That's not what you get at Marion Body Shop. What you get is real dudes at a fair price that are going to save you money, do the job, handcrafted beautifully by experts that care, And if you like dogs, you might be able to pet a dog or two there in the lobby. It may be even bring your own coffee. I don't know. But you're not really going to stay anyway at a body shop, right? You're dropping your car, you're getting it fixed, you're going to bring it back. These folks are the real deal. Marion Body Shop, Justin's a trip. Ask for him by name, 913-362-1198. Daryl Meiser and his team at Meiser Sports. Here is a KKHI announcement. We have swag. We have T-shirts, we have hoodies, we have ball caps available. He's getting the inventory in, he's going to make them, and he's going to personally ship them to you. We do not have an online store yet. He's working on how to do this through an online portal. He's going to build it. Daryl's going to do it. But he's had people calling Meiser Sports, hearing the spots on here, saying, what about KKHI swag? Well, he's got it. He's fulfilling a couple of orders. It may take 2 to 3 weeks to get it. All right, he's going to make the product as the orders come in. We're going to do trucker caps, embroidered. Kevin Keatsman has issues trucker caps. We have exclusive introductory pricing. T-shirts, $15. Hoodies, $25. Ball cap, $20. This stuff's cheap. Okay? We want to get it in your hands. We want you to have it. We've got Kevin Keatsman has issues T-shirts. Kevin Keatsman has issues hoodies. I don't even have them yet. I got a T-shirt. I don't have the hoodie or the ball cap yet. Okay? I don't have it. He's making some up. I'm going to have one. But you can call him right now and order. Get on the order list if you want to order them. This stuff is not expensive, folks. That's not what we're doing this for. We'd love for you to have the product. It costs Daryl a little bit to make it, get it in, and ship it to you. He's going to do it himself. He works with his son. This is a really small business. And I asked him if he could do this, and he said, let's do it. Here's the number at Meiser Sports. You could go online, misersports.com, M-I-S-E-R-S, sports.com, or 816-741-8622. Just call Daryl and say, I want a KKHI trucker cap to wear this spring, wear it to the pool, take it hunting. Whatever it is you're going to do, we got T-shirts. We're going to make them in blue and white. They're going to look like Royals colors. You can wear them to Royals games this year. They're going to be cool. We got hoodies. Call Daryl, 816-741-8622. He'll ship it anywhere in the country, misersports.com, and Kevin Keatsman has issues. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. You know the drill. They'll fix your car. They'll service your car no matter where you live. They'll pick it up, bring it to their store, and they will repair it or service it and bring it back to you. Who does that? Well, these people do at Roberts Robinson. Mike demands it. He also gives you a free warranty, free powertrain warranty, lifetime warranty on your Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Most dealerships charge well over $1,000 for that. It's free at Roberts Robinson. He includes it for you when you get your car there. Build your car with Roberts Robinson online at robertsrobinson.com in beautiful Excelsior Springs. Boy, you want to step back in time, breathe some fresh air, and feel America the way she used to be, drive to Excelsior Springs for a day, grab some lunch, walk around there this spring. They got a lot of creeks and trees and woods. Maybe swing by the dealership, tell them hello, take a look at a car or SUV or truck while you're there. RobertsRobinson.com and Chevrolet, find new roads. And Mark Lindquist and his team at 360 Document Solutions. They can help your business. This is business to business, folks. If you have a business, no matter how big or small, call 360 and free, they will work with you on a complimentary analysis on how to save money with better equipment and better systems where you work. It's a free call and a free service. 913-745-5344. It is 360documentsolutions.com. Okay, Eileen Gu was born in San Francisco. She's from California. She's at the Olympics. She has won gold in the free ski big air competition, and she's exceedingly talented. She wants to be a model. She takes these pictures. She wants to get on covers of magazine. She wants to be a global influencer. She wants to do all these. She's got big, big plans. She's 18. She's smart. She's got everything, the world in the palm of her hand. And in a year where it's the lowest television ratings for the Olympics ever in the United States of America, and it's not close, this is the worst ever. Eileen Gu from San Francisco, from California, wins the gold in the free ski big air. And not a single person in America is happy for her because she's competing for China. Her mother's Chinese. Her dad went to Harvard. He's apparently from here. The mom moved here. They got married. They had a daughter 18 years ago. She's now awesome. And she decided to compete for China. Here's the question I've got. Eileen Gu wants everything. Of course she does. She wants a lot of money. She wants endorsements. She wants to be famous. China's a bigger market. the world is a bigger market than America. They asked her if she's American or if she's Chinese. And she says, well, when I'm in China, I'm Chinese. When I'm in America, I'm American. So that translation is, I'm competing in China, so I'm Chinese. I mean, what? Where is it next in the 4 years? Is it in France? The Winter Olympics in France in 4 years? I'm not sure I know. But it's not China. Does that mean she'll be American then? How will you feel if in the next Olympics, when it's not in China, she says she wants to compete for America? And is anyone else tired of this? There was a unique quality of the Olympics to soccer, the World Cup, to a lot of things. There have been unique qualities through the years that I'm rooting for my country. And all of our differences aside, we're all rooting for our citizens. Hell, that's gone now. That's gone from the Olympics. It doesn't even exist. We don't know who, and I'm not trying to stereotype by what you look like, because American athletes have always looked like they're from around the world. Always. So that's not what I'm doing. But it does seem weird when other countries are like that. It does. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I couldn't care less if she becomes famous. I can't even imagine being 18 years old. The reason she is where she is she grew up here. If she grows up in China, did she win the gold? My guess is no. She's lucky. She grew up skiing in Lake Tahoe. What a life in America. And she's competing for China. Ugh. Wherever I am is what I am. Now, that doesn't fly with me. I don't think it flies with you. Here's the crazy part. China doesn't recognize dual citizenship. So has anybody asked her, did she fly? Does she have an American passport? Do we have to take her back? She's a citizen, but if you don't recognize dual citizenry, does China allow you to have a U.S. passport while you're competing in China? I don't have the answer to that. My guess is she got in with a Chinese passport. They don't do dual citizenship. Or does it mean she's strictly American and the Chinese are just letting her compete on their team? I don't have the answer. China does not recognize dual citizenry, so I don't know what she is. Honest to God, I don't know what she is. They took her in. They love it for propaganda. She was born in America, but she competes for us because China's great and America's evil. She's all anti-America. She's BLM. She's in the hate America crowd, the far left hate America crowd. She's part of it. Her parents taught her that. Her mom's from China. Of course her mom taught her that. Her dad went to Harvard. Of course they taught her that. Hate America. Compete for China. Yuck. I got no time to even remotely think about rooting for her in any way, shape, or form. College basketball. Missouri loses at Vanderbilt on Tuesday night, 70-62. Mizzou trailed by 11 in this one. They came back. They got the lead. They lost it again. They're now 9-14, 3-7. I mentioned after a good win over the weekend that, you know, if Missouri could string together four or five wins, it could get interesting again. You know, get back to just over 500 overall, win some games in the league, climb up the standings, that anything would be possible. And I said the same thing of K-State, but neither one of them really looks like they have what it takes to go win four or five in a row. And a loss at Vanderbilt is a prime example of why Missouri is going nowhere this year. I'm not trying to bury them. I'm not trying to insult them. It's just a sad reality that this thing is going nowhere. Vanderbilt's no good. They just moved up. They were 4-6 in the SEC heading into this game, and they beat Missouri 70-62 after blowing a lead. Bad year for Missouri. Probably going to be a bad night Wednesday night for Kansas State. They host Baylor. Baylor's probably got the red ass after getting drilled by Kansas. I don't like Kansas State's chances in that game at all, which is going to lead back into my point that these teams would be fine if they could go find a way to win four or five games in a row. I think we'll learn Wednesday night that Kansas State is not capable of that either. On the Kansas front, they're sort of humming along, they're sort of not. The game Monday night we talked about in great deal on the podcast yesterday, but now all the talk's about Remy Martin, the point guard, the lead guard for the Kansas Jayhawks, and there are rumblings everywhere that he may not get back this year. And when I hear that about a knee bruise, this is not structural. They've done the MRI and all those things. When I hear that, I think, well, does the kid want to play? Does he want to shut it down and become a pro? Does he want to play through the pain and figure it out? He's made some comments. Hey, people haven't had a chance to see me play this year because I've been injured. Bill Self, for his part, says he really wants to play. They're keeping him with the team. He was with the team in Austin, and when the kids stormed the court after the win, apparently got bumped on the knee. It didn't damage the knee anymore, but it hurts. You had to know if you were going to lose that game. They were going to rush the floor. There's a lot of factors here for Kansas. I don't know. Bill Self was not complaining. He actually wasn't saying the students did anything wrong. He didn't like the way they lacked a plan to funnel Kansas out of the arena, but that's pretty typical when these things happen. That was not some big dangerous sight in Austin. Texas fans aren't really like that. But apparently Remy Martin got bumped, and Bill Self is now saying, we'd like to have him back if we could, full speed by the Big 12 tournament, which is still 3 weeks plus away. Get him some reps, get him in, and have him for the NCAAs. I think that's probably best case scenario. He's ruled out for the next week. They're going to reevaluate him in another week. I don't know. I don't know about Remy Martin. I know this. If he had been with them all year, he's a great player and had a chance to really help this basketball team. And maybe there's a point down the road, or maybe we saw it with Harris the other night. Maybe there's a point down the road where we go, wow, Remy Martin would have really made a difference. I don't know. And maybe he comes back and does make a difference. Right now it's up in the air, but it doesn't look great for Remy Martin at Kansas. And that's too bad because he's a terrific player that people aren't really getting a great chance to see. It was a great chance for me to see on Tuesday the collection of knives and selection of knives at Finch Knife Company. I went to their warehouse and design showroom in Stillwell, where apparently if you call them, they'll have you out there. It's not really a retail location, but if you want to see everything they have, you can go there at Finch Knife Company in Stillwell. It's about 162nd and Metcalf-ish, something like that. Online at finchknifeco.com. Spencer and Steve were there. They're the owners. Cannon was there from Teague Tractor, online at teaguetractor.com. They stock these knives. So does Shields now in Overland Park. We took a picture. I put it on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, go to KKS Issues, at KKS Issues, and you'll see our picture. I was holding the new red knife they have. It's Chiefs Red, and it's called the Reaper, which is pretty cool. They design it pretty quickly. It's not available yet. They have to make them, but they design them there in Stillwell. They have to have them made, and it will be available. These are unbelievably beautiful collectible pocket knives. You're going to love them. FinchKnifeCo.com. Call them if you'd like to put them in your store or if you'd like to visit their warehouse and showroom there in Stillwell. They'd be happy to have you out someday. A lot of folks ordering up a lot of these, having some custom made for as collectibles or unique for their company or whatever it may be. They can do large orders as well. FinchKnifeCo.com. BeStock.net, Chris and his team have undercut Best Buy again. Best Buy's done a national ad campaign for the Super Bowl week that they're selling a Samsung 58-inch TV for $499. It's their lowest price ever. They're selling them all over the country, and everybody that buys one is spending $100 too much because BeStock.net has a ton of these TVs for $399. You could literally live in Idaho and get the TV for $399 instead of the $499 Best Buy is bragging about. BeStock.net. Visit their showroom, 14680 South Flaming Road. You will not be overly impressed when you walk in. You will be overly impressed when you walk out. You'll have a great electronics product and save a whole bunch of money. And who doesn't think that is cool? Save money right now at Back9Development.com, too. If you've been thinking about investment properties, prices are locked in. The Solheim Condominiums, Grand Mirror, the second building, prices are likely headed up. You know how this is going. Second building is under construction, but if you'd like to get in now, contact TJ at Back9 Development, 785-236-0161. Last year's prices locked in at Back9Development.com, the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mirror in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Beautiful vistas of the Flint Hills. Gorgeous setting. Walking distance to some restaurants and shops. Really nice place. Back9Development.com. And your new dentist is Dr. Bill Bush. Make the switch. Seriously, make the switch. This is a conservative dentist. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. You got a lot in common. He listens to the podcast. You listen to the podcast. He loves the Chiefs. You love the Chiefs. He's a dentist. You need a dentist. He's the best dentist in the city. I think we can say that with ease. He really is. Award-winning dentistry at NKC Dental. Crowns, veneers, if you have TMJ, if you want to get whitening, or if you have trouble sleeping, Dr. Bush has advanced training at the American Sleep and Breathing Academy for sleep disorders. They can help you with mouthpieces. A lot of things he can do to help you out. This is Kansas City's dentist, NKC Dental. They're in North Kansas City and in Westwood, Kansas. 816-471-2911. Mention KKHI for that first appointment and ask for Dr. Bill Bush. Say you heard about it on the podcast. He's your new dentist. Yeah, he should be your new dentist. I like that. All right, we finished with some fun here today on KKHI. Mattress Mack. You've heard of Mattress Mack? He owns a store in Houston called Gallery Furniture. Of course they do mattresses. They do other furniture as well. It's a giant thing. It's just a giant furniture company in Texas. This is the guy he lost. He lost his bet on the national championship game, right? He bet on Alabama and Georgia won. So he lost. What he does is he has promotions around games. And this is how much furniture the man sells. He has been running a two-week promotion where he's telling everybody in Texas or anybody that buys anything, if you spend $3,000 or more and the Bengals win the Super Bowl, we refund your purchase price. You get all your money back. Hey, if you're going to buy the furniture anyway, we used to do this with Brandsmart way back in the day. Remember the electronics company called Brandsmart in Kansas City? It's now defunct. We used to do that. We had promotions where for a month, if you bought a TV or whatever your purchase was of $500 or more at Brandsmart, if the Chiefs run back a kick, everything's free. You know, in the game a month away. Hey, it's worth a try if you're buying a TV anyway. It was the reason to go do it. You got a chance to win it. We had all kinds of things. We had the, remember the custard store? We had the custard store promotion. They made the frozen custard. And we had whatever number of points the Chiefs scored. This is when Trent Green was quarterback. Priest Holmes was scoring. Tony Gonzalez. Chiefs scored a lot of points. Dick Vermeil was the coach. Whatever number the Chiefs score on Sunday, you get that percentage off at a particular business. And at one point, we had like 30 businesses lined up. And one of my, I'll never forget it, was Shawnee Mission Ford. And at the time, their low-end Ford was the, what was the cheapest Ford? The teeniest, tiniest little sedan. I don't even think it was an Escort. Ford Escort, maybe? Maybe it was. It was really a small, inexpensive car. Like, I think the sticker on the most expensive ones were somewhere like $12,000, $13,000 car, maybe, on a brand new car. And I remember Brad Schultz called me up at the time, and he said, you know what, we'll do this. Whatever the percentage off, we'll give that percentage off these cars. He goes, I got like 20 of them. I need to get rid of them. We don't make any money on them anyway. They sit on the lot. We can't sell them, whatever. Okay. And as we know, Ford has moved on, and they don't really do cars anymore other than the Mustang. So he's like, I can do this. There's enough dealer incentives. There's enough markup. I said, Brad, what if they score 50 points? He says, yeah. They score 50 points, I might lose $500 on the car, but I'm moving them out of here, and I don't have to pay the interest on keeping it on the lot, whatever. Chiefs went out 1 week. I think they scored 47 points, and it was 47% off a new car at Shawnee Mission Ford. He honored it, sold every darn one of them. It was unbelievable, and this was everywhere. Everybody that was on board, and so then the club fell apart. The Chiefs started scoring too many points. It was Custer's Last Stand was the name of the ice cream store, I think. And so it was the Custer's Last Stand Club. And the Chiefs scored so many points, people just started backing out. Or worse yet, they got stuck in a position we had with a couple of our retailers, like, dang it, we were on board, but we can't do this. We didn't know enough about football. We liked the advertising, it was working. We didn't know they could score 47 points. We can't honor it. Well, the second somebody couldn't honor it, they were out of the club. And I was doing apologies on the air. I was like, I'm sorry. They said they were in. Chiefs just busted out 47. They can't do it, or they could go out of business. We're sorry. That's not what Mattress Mack does. Mattress Mack in Houston's different. He's hedging here. Instead of buying an insurance policy, which is what Brandsmart got, or if you've ever played in a golf tournament where they're giving away a GMC Sierra from Roberts Robinson on the 12th hole at Falcon Ridge, there's an insurance policy with that. It costs $200-$300. Maybe they're more now. They probably are. Somebody gets a hole-in-one, you win the truck. Well, he's not really giving it away. He's paying for the insurance policy in exchange for the advertising and making a golf tournament fun, whatever. That's what they do. That's not Mattress Mack's game. Mattress Mack's game is, I'm hedging. I'm going to go place the bet on behalf of these people. So I don't know how much money this guy makes and how much furniture he sells, but he's betting. He just bet the largest single mobile bet in the history of the world. He drove from Texas to Louisiana, got on Caesars app, because Caesars would take it all in one bet. Most other companies, MGM and a lot of the other ones, would say, no, you're capped out at $100,000. You have to make a whole bunch of $100,000 bets. And as you make them, the odds change. The odds would go down. The Bengals are plus 170 to win the game on the Caesars app in Louisiana. He drives to Louisiana. So plus 170 means Mattress Mack bets $4.5 million. And if he wins, he gets 7.7. Now, I haven't sat down and tried to figure out the math, but he's hedging, clearly. He's betting on all these sales he's made to all these people. He knows exactly the promotion's over now. He knows exactly what he has to make in order to pay these people back for what they've spent. It's not an insurance policy. And because it pays plus 170, he's probably figured out a way to pay them all back and make the profit on the bet. And if he loses, he's lost out on what? 8 days? 8 days out of 365? He's lost out on 8 days worth of sales of over $3,000 where he breaks even. He breaks even. He doesn't lose out. He just breaks even on the sales. That's what he's hedging right here. It's brilliant, so I guess he doesn't really care whether he wins or loses. Well, he wants to win. He wants to win. He wants to refund those money. It's good for business. The point is, it drives his business. This is free advertising for him is what he gets. Advertising's powerful. We know that. Sponsors of KKHI know that. It's powerful. Advertising works. It is powerful. And Mattress Mack is a genius. There's no other way to say it. And I think he's getting some kind of help from Caesars here because they seem to be on board. Like maybe he's their sponsor or something. I don't know. Mattress Matt's got it figured out. That's all I know. Because he lost the national title game. And he's probably going to lose this one. But that man ain't going out of business and he's not losing money. It's working for his business. And a final note of pride, if you are from the Kansas City area originally or live here now, there's a movie out available on Amazon Prime and other on-demand services that you can stream into your home for $3 or $4 that was shot entirely in Missouri by 35-year-old Trevor Hawkins, who's the director. Trevor grew up at Lake Lotawanna. Trevor grew up in a small house at Lake Lotawanna. Lake Lotawanna is changing. A lot of people are coming in buying small houses, tearing them down, and building big houses. Some people on the left use this word. This is not in my vernacular. It's probably not in yours. They love to use the word gentrification. Gentrification is people with money coming into neighborhoods that are older and have less money and turning them into richer neighborhoods, I guess. So that's happening at Lake Lotawanna, as a lot of people want a second home that live in Kansas City or just want to move for the lake life and live in the area and do it that way. Either way, it's happening. That's not what this movie is about. Trevor grew up on this lake. He's a local filmmaker. He still lives at Lake Lotawanna in a very small house. He works with a production company in Kansas City. They shopped this independent film. It was mostly shot in 2015. They've shopped it to all the studios. No takers. They're like, dude, it's a good story. We like the film, but there's no big stars in it. There's no way to market this thing. It's an independent film. It's an indie, they call it. It is now out some 6 years later after shooting it. It's about a couple that lives on a sailboat at Lake Lotawanna. Well, there's a couple of things about this movie. This is Hollywood. This is the way movies work. You can't have a sailboat on Lake Lotawanna that you sleep in. They don't allow cabins. So they shot some of this at Table Rock in Missouri, and they shot some of it at a couple other lakes. I think Jacomo, maybe. They shot some scenes, but it's all shot in Missouri. It's beautiful scenery, apparently. If you want to order it up and stream it, you can find it on Amazon Prime, other on-demand services. It's simply called Lotawanna. That's what it's called. It's about a couple on a sailboat trying to live outside of modern society near a city in a place that they've always known to kind of be rural and out in the country. It sounds interesting to me. Maybe we'll check it out. We always like projects and things like that that happen here. I'm looking forward to the show Kansas City. It will be written and produced by Taylor Sheridan of Yellowstone and 1883 fame. It's going to star Sylvester Stallone, and there is no doubt there are going to be scenes filmed in Kansas City. So I am excited about that project to see what that looks like somewhere down the road. Hey, thanks for listening to KKHI. Certainly appreciate it. We're going to turn heavily towards Super Bowl the last couple days this week. We're going to have Stan Weber on to preview the game. We'll have Lee Sterling doing all the prop bets, which are a lot of fun that you can take to your Super Bowl party and have with your friends. You want to write some of those down and bet $5 on this, $5 on that. They're fun. And Lee Sterling has a lot of fun around the Super Bowl, so we'll have that for you as well. Then a program note on Monday, Spencer will be hosting Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, and Stan will be back on Monday to break down the Super Bowl and talk Super Bowl. I'll be traveling back from Florida. Take a few days this weekend in Florida to go play a couple rounds of golf. So we're looking forward to doing that. We hope all is well with you. We thank you for listening to KKHI. Please tell your friends and family about it and remind them to hit that like or follow button. It's free, and it gives them the notification when the podcast is up, and it really helps the numbers rise. It helps spread the word. We got big, important stuff coming up in April. In April, here it comes. It's going to be the school board elections in Missouri. We're going to do the cheat sheet for all the people in Missouri. I got a lot of folks contacting me from that want to run for school board, that want to get on here, get their names mentioned. We're going to create a cheat sheet for you if you live in Missouri to help you out so you know how to go vote in these things. These are not elections that a lot of people vote in very often. We're going to do it. Missouri listeners of this podcast are going to go vote. We're going to change some school boards. We're going to get it done. So we got a lot of big, important things. The more people we can get to hit like or follow and listen to this podcast, the more votes we can get in April, and the more votes we can get in November. Let's get it done. And thanks, as always, for telling everyone you know that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.